Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got number three things to say about that.
Welcome to Loving the Skin You're In Radio. I'm your host, Andrea Amador, best known as the Juicy Woman. Today is August 21st, 2013. As a certified empowerment coach, author, speaker, and body image self-esteem expert, and curvy and confident woman, I'm here to share my expertise with you and teach you how to bust out of body shame so that you can love the skin you're in. Want to know more about how to change your thoughts and see what's coming next on the show? Just visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/thejuicywoman and click on like to join the group. You can also get body loving tips and more by following me on Twitter as well at thejuicywoman. And if you missed any of the episodes of the show, you can catch all the archived audios for this show at blogtalkradio.com/the-juicy-woman. Also, for those of you who have asked about coaching with me, you can check out my group coaching support membership program called the Curvy and Confident Coaching Club. It runs every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and prices start at $57 a month. For more information on that and other things that are coming up, visit my Facebook page at thejuicywoman.com. This is a live call-in show, so I want to encourage you to have a conversation with me and participate in the program. You can either do that by asking your questions using the chat or calling in. My call-in number here is 760-888-5736. Today, we're talking about dealing with the fear of failure and the fear of success. My goodness! Did you know that they're really the same thing? Our guest this evening will tell you all about that. So let me ask you, does it feel like your feet are stuck in quicksand because you're terrified of risking rejection or failure? Are you frustrated with yourself because you're just not going for it? Whether in business or relationships, the fear of success and failure are like two sides of the same coin. And let me tell you from personal experience, if things aren't clicking, either one of them could be shutting you down. Stacey Vornbrock is my guest this evening, and she is a sports performance pioneer and psychotherapist who works with professional athletes to just blow past their fears and bust through mental blocks. Tonight, you'll learn a simple do-it-yourself stress relief technique that you've heard me talk about so many times called EFT, or Emotional Freedom Technique, and it's guaranteed to turn your blocks into breakthroughs. Stacey has been pioneering the use of EFT with professional and amateur athletes to release mental, emotional, physical, and mechanical blocks on the cellular level since 2003. She is recognized as a leading expert and innovator in the use of EFT with sports performance. Most notably, she has pioneered the application of EFT with injury and surgery recovery, range of motion, soreness, and sports-related mechanical changes. Stacey is the author of 9 breakthrough performance for sports manuals, 4 e-books for non-athletes, and the co-author of the best-selling book, Freedom at Your Fingertips. I got to tell you, I have that one on my nightstand. You can see all of her EFT products and more at her website, breakthroughperformance.net. Welcome, Stacey. It is such a joy to have you here. Thank you
so
much for coming.
Oh, I'm so happy to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Tell us, how did you get started with all of this? We'll be talking about EFT, but more than that, I'd like to understand and share with the listeners, how did you get started in this field?
Well, sure. You know, I was a psychotherapist for years, did talk therapy. I did something called solution-focused therapy, which actually focused on people's strengths and resources. So we looked at solutions versus problems. And I was just continually frustrated that I wasn't helping people have the results that they were seeking. And I personally was frustrated in my own life as well. So I'm not going to say that talk therapy doesn't have its place. Of course it does. And there are certain things you need to talk about. But in terms of actually getting people results and resolving issues, that didn't seem to be happening. So I was continually on the hunt and the search for alternative tools and techniques. And, you know, what I knew there had to be something out there that worked better. And in 1999, a colleague invited me to a two-day workshop on tapping, emotional freedom techniques, and she said, I think this is what you've been looking for. And I went, and that very first morning, they asked for a volunteer. They were actually working on fears and phobias. And, Andrea, I had a 34-year water phobia that I had tried everything for. I'd done desensitization. I mean, you name it, I had tried it. And in fact, over the years, it was getting worse, especially with large bodies of water. I actually tried to watch a special on how they built the Golden Gate Bridge in my living room in the middle of the desert. And I just, I had a panic attack. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I got up on stage, and in 15 minutes, my water phobia was gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those very quick results. Now, that doesn't always happen with EFT. I think that it's been marketed in a way that maybe isn't appropriate because there are a lot of issues that take a lot longer, but it's so much faster than anything talk therapy could ever do. And so I completed the workshop. The whole entire workshop, I honestly felt like I had come home. It was just so natural and easy for me. It was such a joy to use this. So after the workshop, I came home, and I tapped on myself for a variety of issues I felt stuck on, and I had results. But just to be on the safe side, before I took it to my clients I was working with, I called up friends and said, I found this new technique. Will you come and be my guinea pig and let me try it on you? So my friends came, and it worked. It was just blow your socks off amazing. And then at that time, I was working for an employee assistance counseling agency. And so I had a variety of clients with a variety of issues, and I started to use it with every single client I had, and everybody had results. It was remarkable. So that was 99, and then I decided I wanted to leave and start my own practice. And so rather than, at first I thought about it from a standpoint of, well, what do I want to use EFT for? What do I want to specialize in? Because there are so many things you can use this tool for. And I started down the road, well, fears and phobias or, you know, anxiety, panic attacks. I went through a list of things, and then I thought, you know, I'm tackling this all wrong. I need to write down the qualities of my ideal client. So I started to make a list. I thought about the very best clients I'd had in my career as a therapist. And they all had similar qualities, driven, motivated, goal-oriented. They would do whatever it takes to get results. Those are the people that would come and say, oh, my gosh, I did the homework you gave me, and what's next?
Yes.
And when I was done and I had that list, I realized, oh, these are professional athletes. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Gary Craig, who developed EFT, was kind of putting the call out there to ask, well, who's going to take this to professional athletes. And I thought, you know, I have the perfect personality for this. Now, you have to understand, I am the least athletic person you could ever hope to meet. And I'm not kidding when I say that. I sincerely mean that. It isn't that I haven't tried athletic endeavors. The most success I ever had, I did figure skating, and I was good at that. But I played a little tennis, and that was miserable. And, oh, my God, golf was the biggest nightmare ever. And I'm not real coordinated, and I'd be the last kid anybody'd pick on a team, you know. And so I had, I didn't know an athlete. I honestly, Andrea, had to call my sister and ask her what's a birdie, what's a bogey, because I decided to start with golfers.
Wow.
I had no clue. I didn't know where these clients were coming from. I knew nothing. I just knew I had something to offer them, and I had this drive and this passion, and I was a good match for an athlete because I had a lot of those same inner qualities that they have.
Yes.
And I started in 2003, and I've now had my business for 10 years, and it has been the most joyful work I've ever done in my entire life, working with athletes.
Wow. I have watched your work for several years, and I've known about your work through the Tapping Solution and also before that the Tapping Summit and other things that Gary Craig has done. But it wasn't until recently when I was actually looking for ideas myself on how to approach businesses using EFT to offer EFT, and that's when I saw the video that just completely spun my head around. And that was you talking about how at the time you were not yet, you hadn't yet made the leap in terms of contacting these are they called athletic owners, really? Owners of the team.
Yes, at the time I was looking at, at actually contacting the owners of the Diamondbacks.
Yes,
yeah.
Gary Colangelo, right?
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was the most amazing thing, how Gary Craig, the creator of EFT, had worked with you on your fear of picking up the phone and calling Gary Colangelo and saying, hey, I have something amazing for you. I have to ask you to tell this story. It is amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, of course, is that it was clear to Gary that it was a fear of rejection. So then he proceeded to ask about when I had been rejected in the past, and it was when I was 16 and told this guy who was, I can still consider him to be one of the loves of my life. You know how you have different people throughout your life that you're just, it doesn't mean they necessarily return it, but for you in your heart, they're one of the loves of your life. This kid was. But he rejected me, and when I told him that I loved him, he said to me, well, I like you like a sister, which, of course, is the worst thing a boy could say to a girl.
Yes.
And so that's what we ended up tapping on as being the, you know, kind of the root of that fear of rejection. And that was huge because I had worked on that before, that issue before, to the best of my ability. And actually, in fact, Andrea, a colleague of mine had been through EMDR training, you know, the rapid eye movement training. And
yes.
So I was one of his guinea pigs, and that's actually one of the issues that we worked on. And I had some release from that using EMDR, but nothing like what we did with the tapping.
How would anybody know to source that back to that particular place?
Well, I think he could see in the course of asking the questions that he asked regarding making this phone call that it was about rejection. So the logical question then is, well, let's look at where was she rejected in her life? Where, you know, where mm-hmm. is this from the past affecting what's going on right now?
And how does EFT, how is that applied to that, to dealing with a negative emotion?
Well, I like to, first of all, explain a little bit about our physiology so that we can kind of create a foundation for that, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So we have, okay, good. We have a 50 to 100 trillion cells in our body, and every single cell has up to 1 million cell receptors on the end of it. And it's the job of these cell receptors to take in nutrients, proteins, vitamins, and minerals to nourish each cell and keep it in balance. Now, when we have an event that happens, The hypothalamus, which is a tiny gland in the middle of our brain, releases a cascade of chemicals. And by the way, let me back up and say that event can be thoughts we have, something that happens to us, something that we witness happening to someone else. It doesn't even have to happen to us. We could witness something very traumatic or someone getting in an accident, and we can be traumatized from that. In fact, just to back up a little bit, the fear, the water phobia that I had wasn't anything I personally experienced. It was, in fact, something I witnessed happen to someone else. And that created the fear of the phobia for me. Isn't that interesting?
That is amazing.
So, yeah, so we have this event. This event happens. Our hypothalamus releases a cascade of chemicals. They're actually called peptides. But we know them as emotions. So both the positive and the negative emotions, that spectrum of emotions that we experience, are simply chemicals. So let's take fear, for example. Something happens, the fear releases, it floods the body, it will dock onto cell receptors that are made just for fear, and if it isn't processed out in a natural way, if it doesn't go through its normal cycle, the fear remains in the cell receptors, and eventually the cell receptors will shrink up and die, and when the cells divide, the body will make more cell receptors for fear and less cell receptors for nutrients, proteins, vitamins, and minerals. So a couple things. First of all, the things that happen to us happen on a physiological level. They bypass our conscious mind, and boom, they land right in our body, and it happens just in a split second. And we then try to use, really mentally, we usually try to work our way out of it. And I always say, well, we're using the wrong tool for the job. It's like using a hammer when you need to use a Phillips screwdriver. You know, you can whack away at it, but it's not going to be effective. The other thing is that because it is a physiological phenomenon, that's why over time it will feel like our problems are getting worse. That's not our imagination. That truly is an accumulation of those unprocessed emotional chemicals in our body. So when I was rejected by this kid, and I felt the hurt and the sadness, and believe me, I was devastated. I carried that for years. I can't even tell you how hard it was for me to get over that. It may seem crazy at 16, but, you know, I don't think age has anything to do with the depth of feeling that you have for someone.
That's right.
And so that is sitting in my cell receptors, had never fully been released. So now when I'm in, at that point in time, when I was in any situation that even remotely looked or felt like I was going to be rejected, it stimulated or resonated with those unprocessed chemicals that were still sitting there. And I would stay away from that, any kind of experience that would look like rejection, because, of course, who wants that?
So our body is reading fear in terms of a chemical release response.
Yeah, the fear
is
actually
like
fear, anger, sadness, doubt,
yes,
worry, anxiety. Everything you'd call an emotion is simply a chemical. And we have cell receptors that are made just for anger, just for fear, just as the positive emotions as well. Joy, love, every positive emotion you can name, they're chemicals.
And so as the emotions transition and flow in waves, they're constantly changing. And that explains why you can tap for you know, at a period of time, and then later on something else happens, or 10 minutes later you get another wave of a fear or whatever it is that's related, and you need to tap again.
Yes.
When you're going
yes.
through a particularly tough time.
Yes, yes. Yes, absolutely, sure. So let's say you're in the middle of a tough time, present time, you're having a tough time and there's fear. Let's
yes.
say there's a lack of money and you're
yes.
worried about money coming in. And so you tap to release that fear. And then you're fine. And then maybe an hour later, oh, my gosh, you look at a bill and you think, oh,
yes.
I forgot about this bill. Oh, my gosh, here comes another release of those chemicals. Here comes that fear. Docks onto those cell receptors. Yes, you'd need to tap to release that again.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so it's simply completing the processing of those emotions, those chemicals that are sitting in those cell receptors, and those can be from a few minutes ago all the way to years ago in the body. And this process of tapping, that's what's so beautiful about it, is it isn't linear in that respect. It allows us to really tap on anything, on any time, in any time or place in our history.
I had an experience where my mother had fallen back in April, and I shared this with you. And
yeah.
I didn't think much of it. In fact, I was when I talked to her, I was kind of dismissive and not very sweet to her in any way. None of
yeah.
my compassion was on that phone call.
Yeah.
And I was saying, Mom, you know this is just in your head and really ugly. And the next night, I fell asleep, and I must have fallen asleep in a position that caused so much pain when I woke up. I was literally crying. My shoulder was all bent in. And the night before, I had listened to the Tapping Summit, and you were doing how to recover speedy injury recovery that you use
yes.
with the athletes. And I thought, well, hell, the universe is telling me something that I need to know. First of all, I need to change the way that I'm, you know, talking to Mom. That's got to stop. And I just sat and I listened and I started tapping, and I was going along with the Tapping Summit, and I was tapping, and I thought, okay, I could probably call Mom and we could do this together. And we did. She couldn't move that much, but I did not remote tapping, but.
Yeah, the surrogate tapping.
That's the one. I did the surrogate
yeah.
tapping for her.
Yes.
And she was terrified of falling again.
Yes.
And because of that, I helped her to explore a lot of unresolved things that were going on between the two of us. And then it went even deeper to other emotional issues. And I have to tell you, that next morning, she had no pain whatsoever. No pain.
Oh, fabulous.
And my arm was much, much better, and we tapped over the next, I think it was 6 days of continually tapping, doing the whole protocol that you had in the book, and it
yes.
just knocked my socks off.
Oh, my gosh, that is such good news.
Yes.
That is spectacular.
Yes.
Ah.
So now, whenever she has any kind of a difficulty or challenge or she's upset or anything, I say, okay, come on, Mommy, let's tap. So she just taps along with me.
Oh, I
and
love
it is,
that.
It's so amazing for people who are in assisted living homes and for people who are, you know, caregivers, but they're distant. My mom is in Florida. I'm in New York. I would never have thought that I could do this. And I remember at the time when she fell, I felt so helpless. And the
yeah.
thing that I threatened her with was, Mom, there's not a thing that I could do for you here. The only thing I could do, you're going to have to go to the next level of care, and we're going to have to put you in a full nursing facility. And she was furious with me. But that was what exacerbated the whole transformation that occurred the next day.
Oh, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just amazing.
Story.
I thank you
and
from
what
the
gift.
Bottom of my heart for this.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, what a gift to give her. What
yes.
a gift. And for both of you to have that for your relationship. That's
yes.
just beautiful.
It's amazing.
So I just wanted you to share that with whoever is listening.
And
to
can
talk
I add that?
More.
What you're, yeah, what yeah. you're talking about is my injury recovery program. And
yeah.
that is a program I developed from, again, my work with athletes. All athletes are injured. And I just have to tell you this one. When I first started working with these guys, I'd say to them, well, have you ever been injured? And they'd look at me like I was the crazy one. Because then I finally stopped asking that question and started saying, tell me about all your injuries. Because
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how naive I was. And so out of that, I started solving problems. I'm about solving problems. And so I started to develop these protocols that would address injuries and surgeries, and in fact, medical and dental procedures. So if you also have any dental work done or falls, mm-hmm. concussions, really anything physically that happens to you in that respect, there are things, again, that happen on the cellular level, including trauma, adrenaline pain, all the emotions connected with the injury or the surgery. Because remember, the emotions are chemicals, and they're taking up those cell receptor sites. And then the body takes on a fear of re-injury and a memory of protection, like you're talking about with your mother. Of course she was afraid she was going to fall again. And by the way, that has nothing to do with age. These young guys I work with in their 20s, all of their bodies have taken on a fear of re-injury and a memory of protection on the cellular level after each injury. And so what happens is you end up holding back. First of all, your body shifts to protect that part of your body that's been injured. And in doing so, in making that shift for that protection, now you're not walking normal, you're not holding yourself normal, your movement is off. Well, you're automatically prone to more injury. That actually starts a cascade of injuries. So when we release all of those things on the cellular level, when we do it through tapping this program and these protocols, we're speaking directly to the body, having this conversation, releasing those chemicals, and it allows your body to return to a state of balance. Now it frees up those cell receptors to be available to all of the things you're doing to aid your healing process. So no matter what that is, if it's taking supplements or medication or chiropractic work or your physio work or whatever it is that you're doing, your cell receptors are more available to that. You've released that fear of re-injury and that memory of protection. You're going to be moving in a whole new different way. It is like a miracle in that respect.
Yeah. I want to segue to the fear of failure and the fear of success, because that came as a shock to me, looking at the fear of success as being on the same coin or opposite side, that it's really just another aspect of fear of failure. Could you explain that?
Sure. Absolutely. So I think we're all familiar with fear of failure, right? Everybody can relate to that. We're all afraid of failure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But what I realized, and again, this came through my work with my athletes, I started to realize that these men often have, because I work primarily with professional athletes or real high-level amateur athletes. I take other athletes as well, but they're usually pretty high-level. And I started to realize that many of them, other than the real elite athletes, and sometimes even, no, I would say that's not true. The elite athletes had already made it. So I'm talking about, you know, Major League Baseball players, NBA, you know, all of the elite level. They are in a different category because they've achieved that success. But the professional athletes who are striving for that, I started to realize, had this fear of success underlying what was going on. The fear of failure was obvious when I bring that up, and when I would start to say to them, well, tell me about any fear of success you have. And most of them would just kind of look at me. Some would be with it, and they'd say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I kind of do. But I started to realize that there were there were these aspects to the fear of success that I started to ask them about. And when I would ask, then they would realize, oh my gosh, I do have that going on. For example, one of them is this fear that if I'm successful, my life will change.
Oh, because yes, your life will everybody change. Can relate. Yes.
Yeah. It's the truth. Think you will. You will have a different life. And many things will be different. People will, I think that one of the biggest fears that many people have with regards to success is how can I maintain this level of success? It's one thing to get there. It's another thing to maintain it.
And oh, like losing weight. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, right. That's right. So how in the world can I might be able to get there, maybe by luck or by accident or by something, but then what in the world, how do I maintain that? Because people start to look at you and have an expectation of that. So that's something. Also, your relationships with people will change. You may not have as much time to spend with family. Family and friends may put more demands on you. Let's see, what else can happen if that can change if I'm successful?
Relationships, friendships.
Relationships, you might have to work longer, harder.
You may lose them.
Yes, you can open a can of worms. And the thing is, you don't know exactly how your life will change. All you can know is your life will change. There's no way of knowing how exactly. Now, this isn't something anyone is consciously thinking about, but it is there on some level. Another one, especially for athletes, has to do under this fear my life will change if I'm successful, is they have to deal with the media. All of a sudden, media becomes something that's in their life that they, you know, they're not interested in. They don't want to have to deal with that.
That's right.
But it's part of the baggage that comes with success like that. So it's something they have to take into consideration. And of course, oftentimes they've seen their colleagues or teammates beaten up by the media or the things that happened. They, you know, they're not interested in that. They don't want to have to face that. Another issue that's really big, it has to do with deserving success. And
wow.
This one has been really an eye-opener for me, really interesting. So the athletes I've worked with, when I talk about do you deserve the success, how do you feel deserving to make it to this status? Oftentimes the answer is no, I haven't worked hard enough, I haven't done enough, or gee, they're afraid if they claim that and if they claim their success, they'll be considered arrogant. Other athletes or other people will look at them as arrogant. What's interesting, Andrea, is that when you ask an elite athlete if they deserve their success, instantly they say, you bet I do. There's no question in their mind about their deservability with their success. They know how hard they work. They know what it's taken to get there. They know they're good enough. It doesn't mean they're not always striving to be better, but they know they deserve it, and they don't. There's no hesitation whatsoever. It's amazing the difference of the mindset.
What changes? Because not everybody's doing the emotional freedom technique and the tapping. So how do they cross over?
I think the big thing, if I had to boil it down into what I've observed, is that, first of all, the elite athletes are so focused on their goal. They are locked on like laser, and nothing is going to stop them. Nothing. They just have such a drive and a passion. It's incredible. I think the real key is that they have the ability to feel like they belong there. There's something about their ability to visualize themselves in the position they're striving for. So let's take a Major League Baseball player. All along as he climbed through the minor leagues, somehow this guy had the ability to see himself as a major league player and to really feel it, to involve all his senses and to know he belonged there. Almost claiming it as if it's, this is mine, this is mine to have. And doubt just wasn't part of it. It was, he used his energy and resources to look at, okay, what's next, what's next, what's next, what do I need to do next? Let me get done what I need to do and move on. Oh, no, that's okay. Whereas the other guys I'd see would spend their time and resources with doubt and worry and I don't know, and or maybe not even wanting to dig in and do what needs to be done. You know, they wouldn't get up earlier for batting practice, or they wouldn't go that extra mile to do what it would take. And the elite athletes always go the extra mile. Nobody has to tell them. They automatically do it. And this is true for anybody who's successful. By the way, everything I'm saying about an athlete can be applied to anybody you see in business who's successful or in any industry where they have a level of success. You'll find exactly the same pattern.
When you first started teaching this, did you find any resistance, and where was the resistance? How were people receiving the tapping on different parts of the face and hands and body?
Oh, you know, I have to tell you, I've never had resistance. Never.
Wow.
But you know why I believe that is? Because I am so passionate about it that it's my passion that people get caught up in. So I will tell you this. When I was doing my EAP work, my counseling work, one of our customers was the City of Phoenix. We provided employee assistance counseling for the City of Phoenix. They asked me to come and teach this to their employees who were in the water department. And I said, oh, I would love to do that, because they knew that department was going through a tremendous amount of stress at the time. This was in the early 2000, 2001, something like that. I said, oh, I'd love to do that. So I did two different classes, all men, except I think there was maybe one woman in the first class and one woman in the second class, all men, all blue-collar workers. I had all those men tapping with me.
Wow. You are my rock star.
No problem. So I never have a problem getting people to tap with me. From day one, that just hasn't been a problem for me. And especially once I started, I'd say this came about in maybe 2005 when I started talking about it from a physiological standpoint. That made everything even easier because people understand that on some level.
Yes, when I first heard you explain it, being the source back to the cellular level, I thought to myself, wow, that is a great left-brained approach to get people who, you know, need that direction to flow. That's the bridge. That's the perfect bridge. So
yes, it is. And that has allowed me to talk with doctors, chiropractors, physiotherapists, athletic trainers, coaches. Everybody I need to speak with in the athlete world has an understanding of that. They get it.
Wow.
But, yeah, I've never had a resistance. I feel like I can get anybody to tap.
Wow. I would love for you to give just a little demo of how it works and, you know, the
Sure.
points.
Sure. Absolutely. Let's do this. I just want to say one more aspect of the fear of success has to do with this fear success won't bring me what I want and I'll be disappointed. Because the truth is there's no guarantee for, you know, what's going to happen. And we could put all this time, energy, effort into something and then just be disappointed about it and feel like, well, I really didn't get what I wanted. So yeah. Sometimes that just stops people in their tracks. They're willing, they're not even willing to try because of their fear.
And I'd so like they to just add another one, and that is piggybacking on the previous one you said, and that is the comparison that goes on. Well, it's already been done. I can't do it as well as so-and-so has done it.
Yes, yes. Yes, and so that's a really good one. Let's talk about that for a minute because I think that people use that all the time to let that stop them. And
yes.
And here's the thing. That's true. Everybody's done it. You know, there are a lot of people tapping. There are a lot of people, you know, doing X, Y, Z. So what? It's you, the essence of who you are, is what brings the something different to the table with that same topic. So you will never do it the way someone else is doing it. It's not even possible for that to happen. You bring your uniqueness to it, and that's the gift that everybody has to give to the world, is something that belongs to them, their uniqueness and their perspective of what they're bringing for this topic to the world. So that won't fly for me. If someone says that to me, think, well, you've got your own gifts and value to bring to this topic. What, you know, here's something you can add to that
mm-hmm.
an insight that maybe someone else doesn't have, or a way of looking at it or doing it that someone else doesn't have. And there's room for everyone to bring some piece to the puzzle. I think that's the other thing, that sometimes people act like, well, this is the be-all, end-all, and it isn't. It's one tool, one piece, one part that we need. So there are many EFT practitioners out there. Everybody brings something to the table through the essence of who they are and what they're doing. And that
so
makes
true.
It so beautiful and so unique and really allows us to... Wow, it just gives us so much more dimension.
But Stacey, going back for just a moment, back to rejection, I deal with a lot of plus-size models. And one of the things that they get continually frustrated by is the fact that when they go to casting calls, they're just, you know, diced, sliced and diced and
mm-hmm.
told all of the things that are wrong with them.
Sure.
Now, if a woman has, you know, heavy thighs, there's just no getting around it. So if she's told, particularly, there's tremendous charge for so many people, and for me included, for years, I had such an issue around the word fat and describing myself as fat. Right now, yeah, I'm chubby or fat or whatever it is. It's just a word. It doesn't
right.
bother me. It doesn't define who I am. But to the woman who is being told this,
right.
what would you recommend? What would you tell her? Or could we move our demo in that direction, since that specifically would meet the needs of my women?
Sure. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Actually, under the fear of failure, there are many aspects to the fear of failure, but one of the things I do address is the fear of being judged and criticized by others, and that often will stop us from, you know, taking the risk we need to take. Now, the plus
yes.
size models are in a different category in this respect. Automatically going into the world of modeling, they know there's a lot of judgment and criticism. That's a given.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the first thing I'd say to a plus size model. Look, you're choosing this. You know going in, these are things you're going to hear. This isn't a surprise. It isn't like somebody walking down the street making a nasty comment. This is the business they're in.
That's
so
true,
you
there
need
are so many tender hearts out there.
That's right. So you need to expect this. If that is something you're going to have a problem with every time, that may not be the business for you.
Right.
But here's what you can do when something pushes your button. You can come back and tap on it. And that has, again, then, you pick yourself up like a really successful person or an elite athlete would would and say, all right, I'm going to tap on what I'm upset about, but then I'm going to move on. So they didn't like my size, or they didn't like my shape, or they didn't like what, fill in the blank. It doesn't mean there isn't someone out there who's not looking for my look.
Mm-hmm.
And who I would be a perfect fit for with regards to modeling. And it's having that commitment to it. If that's really your heart's passion and desire, it's having your commitment to that. Because I believe there you would be a fit for someone somewhere.
Yes.
No doubt. But the key is hanging in there, being clear enough. Here are my goals. Here's what I'm doing. You know, the other thing I talk about is you have got to have a big enough why for doing something.
Yeah.
If your why isn't big enough, you'll give up at the first sign of a problem because it gets too hard
that's it.
Boom, you're out of there.
That's right. One of my models, she's doing this so that she could pay for the care of her mother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big why.
It's huge. It's huge.
That
she said that's why she started years ago.
Yep. And that allows her then, when she experiences rejection, it allows her to keep going because her why is big enough.
Yes.
Because here's the truth. Everybody will experience rejection. Absolutely everybody. It doesn't matter what business you're in, what industry you're in, everybody experiences rejection.
Yes.
The difference is, can you just say next and move on?
Well,
versus
you're right,
taking
because
it personally
when I was,
or...
Yes. When I was talking to her, it was really interesting to me because she said that she decided to try different aspects of modeling, pageants and promotion and advertising and all of these things. And her attitude was, what the heck? And I thought, what a refreshing, empowered attitude to be completely detached going in.
Oh, that's so brilliant. And
I thought
you know,
that was fabulous.
Well, that's when people do their best.
Yes.
Is when they say, what the heck, I've got nothing to lose.
That's right.
That really is. Oh, that's so wonderful. She had the perfect attitude. Perfect.
Yes. But then there are other women, models, who are struggling with having a difficult time with their personal lives, and that feeling of rejection that they have from their relationships, that is kind of flowing onto their performance, not so much their performance, but their feelings of confidence in modeling. So it's inhibiting them and making them more prone to anxiety, and they're responding by saying, I can't handle it, I'm disappearing, I'm not going to do this.
Yes.
So what could we do for them? What's your recommendation?
That makes total sense.
What
well,
they can do.
Of course, clearly the first thing would be to work with you. Their best bet would be to work with you so that you could help them work through their issues in their personal life. Because the two always go hand in hand, personal, what you do, what's going on in your personal life will show up in your professional life.
Yes.
What's going on in your professional life will show up in your personal life. There isn't a way to disconnect from that. So that, to me, would be the very best thing, is that they would hire you to work through their personal issues of rejection and whatever is going on that they feel that's making them feel bad about themselves on a personal level to clear that out. Because when that is cleared from their body, they're going to have a much better chance when they go for their modeling jobs of getting them, because they're going to show up in a whole different way.
But most people don't realize that there is a connection. So for those listeners who are new and who are just coming in and, you know, kind of kicking the tires of emotional freedom technique, what could you recommend to them in terms of dealing with the symptom of what's bothering them? So let's say it's frustration or anger. That's really the quickest response to rejection. How dare you?
Okay, so of course, underneath that anger, so what you can do, of course, is tap on the anger. And mm-hmm. all of the things that are going through your head about that, how dare you, that very thought, how dare you treat me this way? I can't believe you'd be so rude. What a horrible thing to say to someone. Who are you to judge me?
You do it the same way as me.
Yeah, all the honest thoughts that you're having about you know, what instantly came up. Underneath the anger is going to be sadness.
Yes.
For being treated that way, and possibly, most likely, it's related to a bunch of sadness that's sitting in their body from maybe years of people saying things, or years of being teased, or feeling bad about themselves in their body, and hearing words of rejection. And so that brings up, of course, other things that need to be tapped on and resolved. You know, everything from the past.
Everything from...
I'm sorry?
Did you say...
Say that again?
You said everything from something?
Oh, everything from the past.
Any
past experiences where they've been ridiculed, teased, put down, shamed, made to feel bad about their body in some way. So the immediate response is anger. The anger protects the sadness. So the first thing is to tap on the anger, not to dismiss that, but then to get to the sadness which is beneath that.
Yes. Do you recommend any particular grouping of points? Can we just go walk through them, do a quick run through?
Sure.
I just have one favorite, but I'd like you to share
what's
yours.
And actually, if you'd like, we can even tap through this protocol for being the fear of being judged and criticized.
Oh, so fabulous. Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Can we do this in the 9 minutes remaining?
Yes.
Or the abridged version of it?
Yes, you know what? We can. We can do a short version of it, definitely.
Fabulous.
So
okay.
For everybody new to tapping, we're gonna tap on end acupuncture points with our own fingers. It's called tapping because we're making just a gentle tapping motion on our points. So first point is called the karate chop point. It's the side of your hand. If you were going to karate chop through a bunch of boards, like a whack down with your hand, that fleshy part that's down from the little finger, that's the karate chop point. You want to take four fingers from one hand and tap that all along that side of your hand there on the other hand. And you can use either hand. It doesn't matter. That's called the karate chop point. The next point, you want to take your index and middle fingers, and it's where your eyebrows begin. It's to the right and the left of the bridge of your nose. So make sure you're on the point where your eyebrow starts, on the inside of your eyebrow there. And then the next point is called the side of the eye, and it's right on the bone, right where the crease of your eye is. You know, if you kind of squint and your eyes crease, it's right on that bone to the side. Next point is under the eye. It's on the bone dead center. Take the same middle and index fingers, and you tap under your eyes, right on that bone. Then take one hand, and you're going to tap under your nose, right in the middle there, right between the top of your lip and the bottom of your nose. Then you're going to tap on your chin where it indents, right in the middle. Then you tap the collarbone point. There's a lot of confusion about this. If you go down from your Adam's apple, and you'll find that point where it makes your collarbone makes a U-shape. You can push your finger in there. The point is to the right and the left of that, just immediately to the right and the left. So what I do is I make a fist and I take my knuckles and I tap right on top of that U-shape there. That way I'll get the point on the right or the left side. Under your arm, it's 4 inches down. From under your arm, there's a lymph node that drains into your breast, and it's tender when you push on it. When you find that spot, take four fingers and tap on it, just under one arm. It doesn't matter which one. And then we used to tap... finger points, Andrea. There were four finger points, but we don't do those anymore. I like to tap the inside of the wrist together, wrist to wrist at your pulse points, because it gets those points that run down the arms into the fingers.
Yeah.
So in for sake of time, I'll just go ahead and read this. I'll just lead people through this. You don't even have to repeat what I'm saying, okay? Just tap along.
Do you have a place on your website where they could get these points to see the diagram?
They can actually get this free ebook called Conquer Your Fear of Failure and Your Fear of Success at my website at breakthroughperformance.net. When they go there to the right, on the right side, you'll see, sign up for my free ebook, and they'll get it right away. And they'll have all the protocols in here. They'll have the discussion about fear of failure and fear of success.
Fabulous.
And the entire protocol will be in there. Okay, good. So just start tapping your karate chop point, the side of your hand, and you don't even have to repeat after me. Just think about this as I'm saying it. Even though my need for approval keeps me from taking the risks to get what I want, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though my greatest fear is looking bad and stupid if I fail, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though I'm afraid my family and friends may take pleasure in seeing me fail, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Then to your eyebrows, I need approval from others. Side of the eye. Everyone has an opinion about what I'm doing. Under your eyes. I pay more attention to what others think than what I want. Under your nose. I make my decisions based on what others think rather than on what I want. On your chin. I'm afraid I'll look bad if I fail. Collarbone. I'm afraid I'll look stupid if I fail. Underarm. People may take pleasure in seeing me fail. Inside of your wrist together. Sometimes I feel my family and friends are just waiting for me to fail. Back to eyebrows. I don't want to disappoint my family and friends if I fail. Sides of the eye. If I don't go after what I want, no one can criticize me for failing. Under eyes. I don't want to feel humiliated by my failure. Under your nose. I often judge myself as a failure. On your chin, I'm my own worst critic. Collarbone, I constantly judge myself negatively. Underarm, I'm not living up to my own expectations. And wrist together, people might reject me if I fail. And now back to karate chop point. I give my body permission to release this fear of being judged and criticized if I fail from every cell. My body can choose to relax and let go of needing other people's approval. I choose to make my decisions based on what I want for myself rather than on what others think. I choose to praise myself for my failures and know they are bringing me one step closer to my success. I give my body permission to release this fear of being judged and criticized if I fail from every cell membrane and cell receptor site. And then you can stop tapping and take a deep breath. And again, this is only part of the protocol. There's a little more to it. But everybody can get the full protocol in this free ebook that I'm giving, Conquer Your Fear of Failure and Your Fear of Success at breakthroughperformance.net.
That was absolutely fabulous. The part that I liked the very most was the whole concept of praising your failures. And recognizing that is one step closer to success.
Yes, and I talk about that in the ebook because that is exactly the truth. And if you make that shift and look at it that way, that it isn't a failure, this is absolutely one step closer to your success. It shifts everything.
That is so exciting. It has been such a joy speaking with you, Stacey. I'm absolutely
thrilled
to
welcome you here. Oh, thank you for
having me. Thank you. I would love to have you again.
Anytime.
In the 30 seconds remaining, what's the last little tidbit you'd like to share?
Well, I would just really encourage everyone to check out your website and the value of emotional freedom techniques. It's the most powerful tool I've ever found in my entire career. It's remarkable what's possible. I'm always humbled by it.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been a joy.
Thank you.
Have an amazing evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye for now.